This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Encouraging prayer. God offers an open invitation for his people to talk with him at any time about anything. On Encouraging Prayer, Dr. James Banks, author of the best-selling Prayers for Prodigals and many other books on prayer, provides weekly biblical insight to help you learn to love to pray. And now, here's James.
Welcome to Encouraging Prayer. This is Carmen Ramirez, joining James today while Robbie's on vacation. James, where are we going today?
Well, it's great to have you back again, Carmen. I thought today we'd talk about praising God in advance. That is, for what he will do before he's even done it. And I know that could sound a little challenging because so often we don't know what God is going to do in a particular circumstance unless he makes that really clear beforehand. And he's very able to do that, sometimes does. But today we'll talk about praising God when he does make it clear, and also, you know, what is going to happen in advance, that is, and also when he doesn't.
Sounds good to me. Where do you want to start?
Well, I read a great piece this past week from Charles Spurgeon, who's one of my favorites, and it's called The Singing Army, and it's all about 2 Chronicles 20, which, you know, is this incredible history of Judah when a vast army has come against them from Edom, and the whole country is alarmed, and so much so that there's this national prayer meeting that happens. And by the way, what a great reminder for us to pray for our country, not just on July 4th coming up, but every day of the year. And anyhow, what Spurgeon does is he looks at everything they did when they met together to pray, and then afterwards, and he recommends it as an example for our own faith and prayers.
So what did they do?
Well, first they fasted. And we shouldn't overlook that because fasting is a powerful practice we see again and again in Scripture. And the best reason for doing it is that Jesus did it, and so we should. So the next thing they do is they remind themselves of who God is, the things he's done for them in the past. And it's a way of expressing their confidence in him.
That makes sense. It really helps to remember the way God has gotten us through past difficulties, especially when we're facing new ones.
Yeah, it does. And the next thing they do is just as powerful. They plead God's promises before him. And you have to kind of set up the scene for this. They're standing in the temple in Jerusalem praying, and they remember Solomon's prayer that happened in that very place years and years before when the temple was dedicated. And basically that was that they'll call on God when they're in trouble and he'll answer them. And they took all of that as a promise from God. It's like they grabbed it right out of their history. So Spurgeon was really big on praying God's promises. And it was kind of a way of grasping or, you know, laying hold of God's faithfulness. So just listen to what he writes. He says, "You know how a man nails you when he brings your very words before you? There," says he, "that is what you said you would do. Of your own free will, you pledged yourself to do this." Then Spurgeon goes on, "Here then is a mighty instrument to be used in prayer. Lord, you've said this or that." And Spurgeon actually said, "Thou hast said," so I'm modernizing the language for clarity. But again, "you have said it. Now do as you have said. You have said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. You have said, he will deliver you from six troubles, and seven, no evil shall touch you." And he goes on to cite several more, saying we should search out God's word for his promises and, you know, pray whatever promises we can find back to him.
I like that. It's a great way to stay in God's word and prayer at the same time. So what else did they do?
Well, then they talk about their need with God. I mean, they just basically lay it all out before him, and they declare their dependence on him, as my friend Daniel Henderson likes to say. And we need that declaration of dependence with God. They say, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And that's a great place to start. And then after they do that, you know, after they remember how God has helped them, they humble themselves, you know, they declare their need, then the help comes.
What happened?
Well, God spoke through a prophet who was there, but basically what happened was that he gave them direction through his spirit and showed them just what they should do next. And God will often do that when we pray, especially when we fast and pray. He'll give us this new clarity and show us what steps to take. It's this—it's a sense of peace that you get, and you know that if you've been there. So, you know, we just have to go there to experience that. And he gives us this in advance of our circumstance. And in this instance, God told them not to be afraid. And, you know, if you think about it, Jesus has told us the very same thing. And I love what Spurgeon said about this. He said, oh, when you know the Lord means to deliver you, bow your head and just give him the quiet, deep, solemn worship of your spirit. It would do you a world of good to sit still before the Lord and to adore and to adore and to adore again and again and still again. It braces the spirit and clears the soul for the understanding of eternal realities. And I love that. I just love that because we need to do that, to just worship, to just love Jesus. And Spurgeon points out how nothing has happened yet, but they're still worshiping God because they're sure now, because he showed them that he was going to help.
That's so cool. I love what he said about adoring God. I think when we do that, when we really take the time to do that, he'll give us more direction than we know.
Yeah, you're so right. And that's not all they did. They went out to meet the army. They faced their circumstances. And what they're doing, you know, as they're going out, is they're praising God. And again, I just want to listen, you know, or give you a quote one more time from Spurgeon, because this is so rich. Here I'm reading from a modern wording from Roy Clark in his book, Beside Still Waters. Spurgeon says, this is how to deal with God. Praise him before you are delivered. Praise him for what is coming. Adore him for what he is going to do. I do not think there is a sweeter sound in God's ear than the song of the one who blesses him for grace that has not yet been tasted, who blesses him for answers that have not yet been received but are sure to come. The praise for past gratitude is sweet, but even sweeter is the praise of full confidence that all will be well.
That really is amazing, especially when you think about how they were facing this huge army. That really was a step of faith.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's just the thing, because they'd gotten with God first, and, you know, they took the time to be with him, and he gave them peace and direction for their next steps, and that's how they were able to praise him in advance.
That's so good, but what about those other times as well? Those times when the direction for what to do next doesn't come?
Well, Carmen, I still think that what Spurgeon said is true, that praising and adoring God in advance makes a great difference. Let's wrap up with a prayer asking his help to do just that. Father, this isn't easy for us to praise you in advance. We just ask your help. We ask for faith to do it. And we ask that you would just show us your word and your promises in ways that we can pray them back to you and take confidence in all that you. Thank you. You are the best thing that ever happened to us and that ever will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You can hear more from Pastor James by visiting his website, jamesbanks.org, or by visiting Peace Church in Durham, North Carolina. May God bless you and encourage you as you pray.
This is the Truth Network.